with us tonight. Isn't it good to have Teresa? Yay! Talked to her yesterday. She says, can you come get me for church? And I said, no, you're way too much trouble, but I'll call someone else. So I'm glad she's with us tonight. Any spoken prayer requests tonight? Brenda? Anybody else? Give me a little more volume on this handheld, Brandon, please, just a little bit. Want to update you on Joe Brown. You may have got my saw the Facebook post yesterday, but he had his back surgery yesterday, and he came through really well. I texted him, and he texted back immediately and said it went great, that he has a lot less pain now right after surgery than he had when he went in. And he gives God praise and said thank everybody for all the prayers. So I'm glad to hear that. So. God just keeps taking care of us, doesn't he? We've had a lot of people have some serious surgeries, and God just keeps taking care of us, and so I'm thankful for that. Yes, Brenda? Absolutely. Protection of God upon you and your home. Teresa? Let's remember that, in case you couldn't understand everything she was saying. She's going to Mar to see if they're able to put the stents in her heart. Before, they didn't want to because they thought she was too weak to even withstand the surgery. They couldn't. But they're at a point now, maybe they can. And so they're looking at that. And that would, I'm sure, make you feel much better to get some blood flow if they can do that. So be praying for that for sure. All right. Well, let's stand together. Let's open up a prayer for our Facebook people. Welcome if you're watching us tonight. And I can't hear your prayer requests, but I know you have them. And you're welcome to post those as you're watching if you need us to pray for you. And we will definitely do that as well. But we love you and glad you're watching tonight. And you're part of our family as well, as you know. Father, we thank you for this time of opportunity to be here in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful in all things. Thankful you brought Joe Brown through his surgery, God. You were with him when nobody else could be. But you were, God, and we're thankful for that. We lift up Teresa. She faces tomorrow that there's a decision that has to be made. And God, I pray it's the best decision for Teresa's life, for the quality of her life. You, God, are able to give her the strength to withstand what she has to face. You're able to bring healing to her body. I pray for all of our church family, for Brenda's request, God, protect their home, protect where they're at, protect their space. Cover that place with your presence and your angels, Lord. We lift you on high tonight, God, through every storm and every battle. No matter what we hear or what we see, you are God, Lord. You are God, and we give you praise. We are the church. We are the people of God. We are the people of faith. This remains. Things come and go, but this remains. Things pass away, but this remains, God. And we are thankful that no matter what may pass away, your word, your truth, the hope and saving grace we have in you remains through everything. And we give you praise and thanks. There nothing can take that away. Bless this word tonight as we continue to talk about the armor of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. We give you praise and glory as we lift your name up tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all sing along tonight.
Yeah.
Before you sing that song, I want to say this. He is above everything we're facing right now. He is above every moment of fear. He's above every news story. He's above every agenda. He's above everything happening right now. Remember, He is King and He is Lord over no matter what we face. And that's not going to change. The news can't discount the power of God. The news can't take away who He is. He is risen and the tomb is empty. It is finished. It is done. It is complete. His saving grace is for real and forever. And I give God praise for that. That's why we can lift Him up above everything that comes our way. I want you to be encouraged tonight. For those of you watching, let me give it here where you can see me. I want you to be encouraged tonight. The news is full of doom and gloom, and the world is going to hell in a handbasket. But I'm here to tell you, we serve a living God who will not leave us and will not forsake us, who is forever and ever. And we know the end of the story, that we will be with God. He is our God, and we are His people forever. And that's why we can sing this next song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. It's a sound the world can't silence. It's a sound the world can't extinguish. It's a sound the world can't put away. It is forever Amazing Grace. And I thank God for that. You at home, sing along with us tonight.
But
Carry me home. You know what that tells me? That he's going to take us the rest of the way. Every generation, every season's had its challenges. This is no different. And God's grace is going to carry us through to the end, and we are going to have the victory, no matter what. I'm thankful for that. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated. Miss D, it's so good to see you tonight. Do your boys want to go back to Mr. Randy and learn something good? Okay. Is he giving you sugar? Oh, he's setting you up for later. All righty. We're going to be talking about the armor of God again tonight, part three. We did the first week was about truth. Last week was about the armor, the breastplate of righteousness. We're going to do a part two tonight on the breastplate of righteousness. Last week we talked about how we have to know our position in God. That's very important, to know our position in God, where we stand. That helps us guard against the lies of the devil when we know where we stand in God. Tonight, we're going to do a second part of what the breastplate of righteousness does, and that is to protect what comes into our heart. Now, it's very easy to let the wrong thing into our heart, isn't it? Very easy. To let anger, to let jealousy, to let bitterness, to let fear, to let unbelief even come into our hearts, even as Christians. Because we are seeing a world that is changing daily. And the good news is the Word of God does not change, and our God does not change. And I really believe in the next coming season that we're in right now, from now moving forward, I'm praying and I'm believing that people are going to be seeking the refuge of God more than ever because of what is coming. And the church has to make a stand, and the people of God have to make a stand, and be that reasoning voice in a very fearful time. And so, you know, me and Teresa were talking on the way to church about how, you know, we tend to, she said, you know, you tend to seek God more when things are wrong. And I think we all would agree with that. Don't we seek God more when things are wrong? So sometimes tragedies or sometimes bad things aren't necessarily a bad thing if it draws us to seek God more for what He wants for our lives. And so we are in times now where I hope people are seeking the hand of God and the presence of God like never before. But we're going to talk tonight about the armor, the breastplate of righteousness in this armor of God. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to skip around a little bit. But Ephesians 6 is our core chapter. We'll read 10 through 14 again to see where we're at. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, we have seen people in the Bible throughout history who had to stand against the attack of the devil. I feel like we're almost, and we're not there right now, but we may be, or we could be, but almost like, I think about the story of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they're in a system, a government system, to where they almost bow to one thing, to what they have built, to what they have created. And these three Hebrew children refused to do that. They said, "We're not going to bow." And the king got really mad and says, look, when you hear the music, if you don't bow, you'll be destroyed. They said, do what you want to, king. We're not bowing. Don't care what music you play. You can play as many times as you want. You put it on repeat where it automatically keeps going. We're not going to bow. And we see how God delivered them through their faithfulness in standing up for God. And I feel like we're in a time now to where we as the people of God are going to have to stand against a lot of things that are attacking our culture, attacking our churches, attacking our lives, and attacking our hearts. And so this breastplate of righteousness is very important that we keep our heart covered from not letting the wrong thing in. Verse 12, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we know that we are fighting these things. We know we are fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. He goes on to say, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. And then verse 14 is where we finish this part tonight. We'll go to another verse. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. This piece of the armor covered the torso of the soldier, and it protected the heart, protected this part of his body. Spiritually speaking, we must protect what comes into our heart. How do I do that? By disciplining what we watch, what we hear, what we speak, what we allow into our thoughts and our mind, because when those things come into our mind, if we're not careful, they'll settle into our hearts and they'll turn us. How many of you have found yourself in a place that you're like, I don't know, I can't believe I'm where I'm at. I can't believe I'm the person I am now. I wasn't that person 10 years ago. I wasn't that person 20 years ago. What has happened? The more we go on in life, the more things attack us. And the more things attack us, we've got to be careful of letting the right thing in and keeping the wrong thing out. And if we are hearing the voices of all of those around us, and I know you can look at your social media and know that there are a lot of people that don't believe like you. And there are a lot of people that don't serve like you. A lot of people that don't have the same spiritual awakening that some of you have. And so we're seeing a lot of infighting. We're seeing a lot of attacking because of what we stand for or what we believe. And this day is coming. It's always been that way. The disciples were talked about. Jesus talked about. That's nothing new. But we are in a transitional time right now. You know, we are in a time like none of us have ever seen. You know, my parents and Roger and Lillian and Tony and Brenda, they're our seniors here tonight, and Gail. They've not seen a time like this in their life. They've not seen anything like this. And for our young people, I don't want this to be a new normal for them, that they can't experience the childhood you had and the life you had. But it may come. But if it comes, here's the good news. We are part of God's kingdom, and we must remain steadfast in trusting Him no matter what comes. It's easy to celebrate the goodness of God when the stock market's up 2,000 points. Easy to praise God when everything is as it should be, right? Like the song we sing, blessed be the name of the Lord, when things are as they should be. Oh, yeah, but what if things aren't as they should be? Teresa also said that tonight. We was talking. She said, you know, we got to praise God for the good. We praise God when it's bad. And we do. We praise God when things are bad. He's still God. He still got my life. See, the angels that God has assigned us hasn't left because this has came. And the presence of God that I believe in, that's with me always, hasn't vanished because this has appeared. And so we must remember the God that saved me, that amazing grace that called me out of darkness, is still the same grace that has me in this turbulent, tribulating time. And so I've got to protect what comes in my heart, and I've got to guard it from letting the wrong thing come in, because it's too easy to get caught up in attacking things instead of trusting God and standing still and watching His salvation work. So let's get to some verses tonight. We're going to be, first of all, in, is it Psalms, Brandon? Romans. Yeah, Romans 12:2. Very familiar verse. Romans 12:2. This is what Paul says. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to guard what comes in here, because what we're around is what shapes us. I heard this yesterday. Somebody was joking, said something about, you hang around the barbershop long enough, you'll eventually get a haircut. You know, that's just how it is, right? You somewhere long enough, you go, you know, you at a bar long enough, you go knock down one. You somewhere long enough, you're going to become that. So it's important that we guard what we are seeing, what we are hearing, what we are allowing. And just because everybody's screaming that you're wrong doesn't mean you're wrong. What does God say? Because God's voice is the only one that really matters. I have lived through, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think I've lived through 8 presidents now in my life. I'm on my 8th or 9th president in my life. And every president's voice has come and gone. Their position has come and gone. But the voice of God remains. And his position remains. He is still sitting exactly where he was 2,000 years ago as the risen Redeemer and King. And that's not changed. And that's who I'm serving. So I'm hearing voices over here, and I'm hearing people over here, and I'm getting caught up in this and caught up in this. And the biggest thing that's happening now, the biggest spirit I feel in the earth, which is common sense to all of us, is the spirit of fear. Spirit of fear that's flooding this country and this world of what is to come. Whether it be a coin shortage, whether it be the COVID's on the rise, whether it be joblessness, whether it be one world government order, whatever we're hearing on the news, it's all of this is fear trying to overtake us. And if we are in Christ, if we are in the Lord, the Bible says his love, perfect love, casteth out all fear. He does not give us the spirit of fear, the Bible says. He gives us a sound mind, right? Not fear, a sound mind to know who we serve. Nothing that's coming down the pike should shake our faith in whom we serve. Nothing. God has not abandoned us, and God has not abandoned America, and God has not left the scene. God is right where he's always been. He's King and he's Lord, and we are his followers. And following means we follow him no matter what. No matter what the trail looks like, no matter what the scenery looks like, no matter what the news looks like, I'm going to follow the Lord. They cannot silence who's really in charge. They cannot silence the thunder and the lightning and the seas and the mountains. They cannot silence his creation. They cannot silence who he is. He is Lord. He is God. He is Almighty. He is Redeemer. He is everything, and they cannot silence that no matter what comes down the pike. That's who I'm serving. And that's who I'm believing. Doesn't matter about anything else really. As long as I know I've got Jesus. As long as I know I've got the Lord. As long as I know I'm in his presence. As long as I know he's not left me. He's not forsaken me. Everything else works out. But we have to guard our minds and not be conformed to the age of this world. We cannot be conformed to the doctrine of this world. We cannot be indoctrinated with the culture that's around us. We must be transformed by the Holy Spirit, which is in us, to keep us grounded. I believe the church is going to have a great purpose in the season that we are in. I believe the church is going to have a great purpose. And I do believe that the church in the next year is going to be under severe attack. And I believe that we're going to have a voice and a truth that cannot be shut up and cannot be denied. And so that's why we minister. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why, see, this building represents much more than a building, right? It represents all that it is. It represents faith and hope and salvation and healing and everlasting life and breakthrough. That this represents, this is so much more. It's not just a building. You know, when the COVID first hit and everybody was fussing at churches for wanting to stay open and keep, people didn't understand. Just shut it down. You can watch it on. What's the big deal? There's a big deal, church. We need to wake up. There's a big deal to this. It's a big deal. It's not about the building. It never was about the building for me. It was about what it represents. It represents the kingdom of God, which the gates of hell cannot shut and it cannot stop. Booyah, three more bars. Okay. He wants to silence the church and make the church feel, you know, we got words now right in our culture. I know I'm a little off topic, but let's just go with it, what I'm feeling right now. We've got words like essential. All right? Who's essential? Is Dee's job essential? Is Tony's job at the funeral home essential? Is Gail and Dad's job essential? Apparently not, right? You know? Is Marjorie's job essential? Is my job essential? We love that word, essential. But that's a very dangerous word. It's a word that divides us. It's a word that's trying to cause separation. And another word that I don't like at all, which is also a danger phrase, is social distancing. It's dangerous to use that term. We were not created a social distance. We were created to be together. We were created to love one another. We were created for community. We were created for fellowship. And so we have to be very mindful of what's happening and not let this culture conform us. And this is what's happened with a lot of local churches. They have social distance to the point they're not meeting at all at the church building. And that can be a dangerous point for a lot of people. If the church is not essential, y'all, what is? To me, and it's not just because it's my job. I could go out tomorrow and get another job and make money. The church, to me, is the most essential institution on the earth. Because this is a place that promotes faith and hope in a living God. That when all of this passes away, when you're being lowered 6 feet under in a casket, you may be lower in the ground, but thank God, because of the faith and because of the Lord Jesus, you are not in that ground, but you are in the very presence of a living God, escaping all of this mess that we live in right now. And this is the place where that is taught. You're not going to go to CVS and hear the gospel, or Walmart, or Home Depot, or Mi Pueblos, or the bowling alley, or the pool hall, or a swimming pool, or a ball game, or a movie theater, or a warehouse, or a factory. But you are going to hear the gospel in the church, the foundation of who Jesus is and what he came to do. There's hope in this place. There's life in this place. There's healing in this place. There is breakthrough in this place. And there's no place like the church. Glory to God. Now we're going to be in Psalms. Proverbs. What chapter are we in? Four? Chapter four, Proverbs. Look what it says about guarding the heart. Proverbs 4, beginning with verse 21. Is that right? Or 20? 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from you. Keep them in the midst of your heart. When I was a little boy and a teenager, I had a pretty sensitive conscience. And I know it's because I was saved, had the Holy Spirit in me, I know that. But I also had mom's words in me. I had an image of dad's belt and an image of mom's words. And the combination kept me pretty grounded. But I remember hearing mom's words of things she would tell me and teach me as a young person. And I would keep that in my heart. And in situations that I knew were wrong for my life, I would see my mom's face, right? I think we've all been there, right? Well, you know, your mom, oh my gosh, you know, what would mom think if she saw me talking this way? Or what would mom think if she saw me here? Whatever. And those words she would teach me would come back into my heart. The words I learned as a child in church never forsook me. They never left me. I may not could have quoted much of the Bible at 8 or 9 or 10 or 12, but I sure knew what it meant. And I had enough word in me that when things came against my life, this word was a strength for me because I had it hidden in my heart. Dee grew up in church too. And I'm sure all the years of her life has changed, seasons becoming a mother, and, you know, she's an adult now, not only a kid anymore. I remember seeing Dee sing as a little kid. I remember Dee's a little girl singing at church. She could have been more than 7 or 8 years old first time I saw her. And now she's over 18. And she's a grown woman. But I guarantee you, through all of your seasons, Dee, through all of your challenges, through all the battles of life that we all encounter, that the Word of God has always been tucked there, always. In the midst of your darkness, that was there. See, when we get something into our heart, really get it rooted there, it stays. Also, something bad can stay in our heart too. And that's why it's important that we guard what comes in there. We protect it. Verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let your eyes look right on, and your eyelids look straight before thee. I love verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The Bible gives the charge to guard what comes in our lives and actually turn away from what is wrong. We know sin can look very good, and sin can have a great menu that we desire. Sin presents itself in beautiful, compelling ways. But then when sin bites us, we're left scarred and we're left broken and we're left hurt. And God gives us this word to help teach us. Protect this. I feel so sorry for the generation that we're in now because of this. Because other than if they've got a Christian mom and dad, that may be the only foundation of truth they really have. They're not going to hear it from any other friends. They're not going to hear it in the school system. If they don't go to church, they're not going to have a church to hear it from. And they're hearing their own. I see little kids 2 years old in buggies at Walmart all on these phones, 2 years old. Become babysitters, right? Now, here you go. Just leave me alone. And they're seeing these images and seeing these words, and they're learning how to navigate social media, and they're hearing all of these stories, and they're seeing all of these videos, and they're just, all that's being poured in their little hearts. And what's happening, church, what is happening is it is indoctrinating a generation to believe something that's not always true. I want truth. I want God's truth. And the only voice of truth we really have is the voice of God. The devil will lie to you every day of the week to keep you bound. But when God speaks truth, listen to it. Next verse, Brandon. This is in Psalms chapter 51:10. This is right when David, he had his affair with Bathsheba, and he was feeling so guilty. He had so much guilt and shame with what he had done. He had murdered her husband. He'd got her pregnant, a married woman's, another man's wife pregnant. He lost that child through the night, but he's grieving. He's broken. He's so condemned with guilt. He says this in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We in this season need to be praying that God controls our tongue and that we speak when He tells us to speak, and we're quiet when He tells us to be still. And that's the hardest balance to do. Because we all, as human beings, are emotional. We are emotional. And those emotions sometimes override the wisdom of God. So God created me a clean heart and a right spirit. God, I want my spirit to be right with You. I want my spirit to be right with Your Word. I want Your Word to line up in my heart as I have on this breastplate of righteousness in this evil day, that I'm guarding what's coming in. I don't want the trash of the world to come in and contaminate my life. God, I want Your beauty and Your glory and Your holiness to come into my heart. Oh, you remember the days long ago, it seems like, when you come to an altar and you would leave feeling so clean and so refreshed. Man, I remember as a young person, especially when I was younger, teenager, 20s, you know, going to an altar, and I'll be so burdened with just life, burdened with things, burdened with struggles, burdened with guilt. And I'd come to an altar, and I would feel God lift that off of me. And I would go back to the pew and sit, and I would be completely changed. I would feel like I was a different person than I was before. It's because I let God do something on the inside of me. We need more of that in this season. Letting God move on the inside of us. See, it's not about anyone's agenda. It's about God's truth. And God, I want my heart to be right with you, whatever I'm battling, whatever I'm facing. I don't want anger to be the ruler of my life. I don't want to let pride be the ruler. God, I want you to rule my heart. David cried out to God, and God did restore the joy of his salvation. God did help David, but he cried out for it. God, I need you. Help me, clean me. Give me a right spirit. Next verse, Brandon. This is Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart faileth. Any of y'all tired right now? You're just tired. You're just tired. You're tired. There's so much going on against us. You're tired. You're tired physically. You're tired emotionally. You're tired mentally. You're tired financially. You're tired spiritually. You're just tired. Your flesh and your heart has failed. You're in a weak, weak, broken place. But look what he goes, the word of God tells us. But God is the strength of my heart. See, as I allow God to come into my life, as I allow God to bring strength to me, that's what I need. Because we are in a very tired generation. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We never have known what tomorrow holds. But when it's going good, we don't care too much. But now that it's not going good, we care a lot about what happens tomorrow. Because we don't know what the news headline's going to say. We don't know what the news report's going to say. We don't know what we're going to see on Facebook, what we're going to hear. We don't know. Every day we wake up cringing, wanting to know what's the next thing that's happened. Our heart and our flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion. That means inheritance. He's my inheritance forever. No matter that my flesh fails, he's my strength. No matter my heart may fail, he's my strength. He's my portion. He's my inheritance. I know I can count on God. When all else fails, I've got God. When all else goes wrong, I've got God. And I know that. No matter what storm comes, no matter what battle comes, I know I've got God. If I'm laying in a hospice bed, moments from death, I've got God. In the middle of a war zone, I've got God. In the middle of whatever I'm battling, I've got God. If I know I've got God, everything's okay. I want my heart to be protected from what's coming against me and not get inside of me. Here's what we got to be careful of as the people of God, as a church, people of God, as people of faith, that we don't let the poison that's happening all around us poison us. And this is where the church has a voice to remind people who they are in Christ. We're the people of God. We're to be a voice of hope and a voice of truth and a voice of peace and a voice of joy and a voice of strength for the brokenhearted. Because there is no hope in anything else. You heard about Charlie Daniels passing away, I'm sure, 83 years old. Had a stroke. Many people love Charlie Daniels. Many people follow his music. But the only hope Charlie Daniels had was his faith in Christ. It's all that matters. The platinum records don't matter. It really don't matter if the devil now in Georgia or not. Don't matter. What matters is where he is now. All the money, all the fame, all the record deals, all the glory of his life he lived, all the good events, all the victories, all the good times, that's all gone for him. Paul said, if this life, if all we had was what we have here, we'd be miserable people. But we don't have just this. We have a hope beyond this because the tomb is empty. Because the tomb is empty. And because that tomb is empty, we have a hope that goes beyond the few years on this earth, beyond the sickness of this earth, beyond the frailty of this earth. We have a hope beyond all the calamities that come our way. We have a hope. And so my eyes, as Paul said, he said, to keep your eyes pressed toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. I keep my focus on where I'm going. I don't keep my focus on where I've been. I keep my focus on where I'm going. I don't keep my focus on where I'm at right now. I keep my focus on where I'm going. I'm moving forward in God by faith, knowing he is the ultimate end of my life. It's all that matters. So I'm going to protect what comes in my heart and trust the Lord no matter what happens. We cannot allow the fear of this generation to become the fear of our hearts. Fear is of the enemy. Fear comes from a dark, evil place. We do not have that spirit of fear. We should have the spirit of peace and power in the Lord. And I do trust that. I truly trust that. Next verse, Brandon. This is Philippians 4:8. This is our last verse for tonight. This says, of course, Paul talking. And he's talking about what things we should be dwelling on. I talked to one young person a couple weeks ago about this, and I'll let you know as well. I'll give you this, and maybe a lot of you do, maybe all of you do this. But let me give you this bit of advice to maybe help you a little bit with your fear. Do not go to sleep and the news be the last thing you watch. I encourage you to open the Word. If it's one verse you read before you go to sleep, open it up, read one verse. Let one verse, let one word be the last thing that you see when you close your eyes at night. And let that get into your heart. Man, we are so rattled when we go to bed at night because we're so worried about what's happening. Here's what Paul says in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, what does that word say? True. The church, and you Facebook people, no matter which side of the aisle you believe, you got to admit, you can't believe everything here on the news. Not everything. But you can believe what this says. I can believe this. I will dwell on things that are true, on things that are honest, on things that are just, on things that are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Notice that, good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things we should be allowing into our heart. Not the negativity junk that we're seeing, but the things that bring us peace, the things that bring us strength, and the things that bring us joy. Pastor, I can't find peace no matter what I watch. Get in the Word of God, you'll find peace. I can't find joy in nothing. Get in the Word of God, you'll find joy. I promise you. I'm broken and I'm weak. My psychiatrist can't help me. My pills ain't helping me. My smoking ain't helping me. My drinking ain't helping me. I need help. My yoga's not helping me. I can't get no help nowhere. Open the Word of God and see if God don't help you. Because what's in here is for us. This is a book written for God's people that we can dwell on, that we can read over and over and over and over again. I mean, John 14 is a powerful couple of verses where it says, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. So read that over and over. Okay, God's got something waiting on me. More than this. No matter if I lose everything, I'm not losing that. That's eternal. That's forever. That's mine. And I thank God I know the end result. No matter what comes my way. None of us know how God's going to call us home. Whether it's by Him blowing the trumpet and we just all walk in together. Whether it's through sickness or an accident or whatever it is. We don't know. But I do know the end result. That no matter how God calls me home, the key is I'm going home. I'm going to see my Savior face to face. And there is no anger or hatred or division or fear or whatever can ever alter that. I'm going to see my Lord and my Savior. And that's the good news. That is the good news of the gospel. Protect your heart. You that are watching tonight, protect your heart. Don't let things come in that take you away from God. Focus on things that bring you closer to God. And turn off some stuff and turn this on and say, God, because we are going to need this like never before in the coming months. We're going to need this like never before to stand against what's coming our way. And I believe the Lord has all of it in control, and He needs some people of faith to trust Him more than they trust what they see. So, as Paul Harvey, the late Paul Harvey said, next Sunday, the rest of the story. Anybody got any comments before we close tonight on the message or anything you got? Amen. That's exactly right, Teresa. Thank you for sharing that. We can still have peace in the world we live in. I mean, peace for our lives. We can still have peace. But we got to get to where peace is found, and peace is found in Him. Roger, you got any pearls of wisdom tonight to share with the church? I've seen that before, too. That's exactly right. Well, church, we've got to keep on trucking day by day, trusting the Lord. And things are going to get a lot more unnormal before they're normal again. But it's okay. We got God. We'll be okay. I'm going to tell you something else about the church in closing. I still got 10 minutes, so y'all give me a little leeway here. From day one, end of March, I wrote in my planner the Saturday night the news really came out that things were going to change. It was back in March. And the Lord immediately put in my spirit from day one to not lock the doors. Don't lock the doors. It wasn't a pride thing, church. I prayed about it. And from day one, I felt that the church has to be a place, not only for what we do, of course, with faith and hope and teaching the gospel, but it has to be a place of normalcy for people. It has to be a place of some kind of normalcy to where you're not running to a plexiglass wall to get to the cashier. You're not in a hazmat war zone walking through somewhere. That the church has to be open for people to have some kind of refuge in what they're facing right now. You can't still sit in a McDonald's and eat right now. You can't go to a ball game right now. You can't go to a movie theater right now. There are so many things that have been restricted. And as I was praying, this is a place to give humanity some type of normalcy that we're going to operate business as usual, preaching the gospel. Now, we made a few modifications, of course, but not to the extreme that it doesn't feel normal. We're here in the sanctuary. We're here at church. And that's where we're supposed to be as people of God. And so I just want to make that clear, that from day one, the Lord, I prayed about it. And I know that some people, under their breath, have probably disagreed with me for doing that. Nobody's told me that. And you can, that's fine. I'm a big boy. I'm not being inconsiderate, and I'm not being irresponsible. I'm walking in the faith God gave me. And I'm doing what He's called me to do. And I answer to God. And that's how I feel. And it's like I said, and I really mean this. I so appreciate the worship team. Those first couple of months, we had our worship team coming. We had 10 or 12 people here, maybe 14, something. But it was right, just a handful those first couple months. And the singers were here, and the worship team was here. And I appreciate that so much, y'all being here, to keep the services going as normal as we could. And then little by little, more came along. And as the news gets worse, more may stay away. And that's fine. That's up to everybody's decision to make. But I want everybody to know that these doors will be unlocked for whoever wants to be here. And we will put you somewhere if you want to be in this church. And if you're one of these people who want to be by yourselves completely, we'll put you in a fellowship hall all by yourself. You can watch it on TV, and there'll be no judgment. That is fine. But it's important to me that we keep the things of God moving forward. And until God speaks, church, things are going to be going forward the way they're going now. Brenda? Remember that. I remember Tony told me that one day at the funeral home. He says, we're going to see you tonight. He said, well, enough's enough. We're coming back. And I never pushed y'all. I never told you to come, did I, Tony? I never pushed you for that. On your own, y'all just said, coming back. But the church is unlocked for who wants to be here. And for those that disagree with it, then you're doing the right thing, staying home, and that's fine. But we're going to be here. People need the church right now and never before. They need faith. They need hope. They need peace. And you're not going to get it in many places right now. So, and keep your spiritual stuff about you, you know. I understand now, I just heard from Mr. Randy that Walmart's going to require you to wear a mask before you shop in the store. They're requiring that. So if that's not your thing, you got two choices. You can put a mask on to shop, or you can go somewhere else. But don't start throwing things in the window and picking it out front. It is what it is. This is America. And just as the people that feel like they don't have to wear a mask have that right, they also have a right to serve or not serve who they want as well. So that's how it is. So don't get angry. Don't get upset. Just politely, if you don't want to do that, okay, thank you, have a good day, and just turn around and walk on. Or put a mask on and shop, whichever you want to do. But let's be a light right now. Let's be a light. All right. Everybody good? I'm looking forward to Sunday. I tell you, it's going to be a great message. I have no idea what it is yet, but I know it's going to be good. I just feel it in my bones. Was there any prayer requests on Facebook tonight, Marjorie? Okay. All right, guys. Okay. We'll pray for him right now in closing. And I'll check on him, too. I'll give him a call and check on him. Okay. Doc, if you're watching, we'll pray for you right now. If you're not watching, shame. The service ain't over. Shame, shame, shame. Father, we lift up Doc right now that you will touch his body. We know you're over gout, you're over all sickness and disease, and God, I pray for your strength and your healing power to touch our friend, God, and your child, and bring healing to his legs. Give him strength to be able to walk and get around again, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we call Doc's name before you for healing, and we thank you for it and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. If you have any offering tonight, you can put in the plate over here, and hope to be here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Thanks for coming tonight. God bless. Love you, Facebook world.